Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Have to decide what you'd like the world to look like when your children are sitting where you're sitting today. I want it to be a world of shared opportunities and shared responsibilities, a world with a sense of deep community across all our differences, a world where we use the earth that we've been given, but where we do whatever it takes to preserve it for our grandchildren.
Earth angel,
well, there's old Green Bill giving him the bull. You know, it's commencement time, so there's a lot of wind thrown around. The poor kids have to sit and listen to the double talk and the hypocrisy coming out of the mouths of the infamous, truthfully. But I was thinking about something. Has any conservative recently been invited to give a commencement address? Do you know of any conservatives who've been invited by any major American university to give a commencement address? Put aside Michael Savage. Has Rush been invited and turned it down? Has Wallbanger, I mean, admittedly a high school dropout, but nevertheless, he can speak very well. Beck has eyeglasses and a blackboard. Surely he could have been invited to give a commencement address. Well, actually, the field is quite narrow, but let us say there are some conservatives with academic credentials. They're not invited to give commencement addresses. Instead, the socialist, communist, New World Order types give speeches. And speaking of the socialists amongst us, the IMF rapist, alleged rapist, who is now on a suicide watch at Rikers Island, was warned to watch his behavior in the U.S., according to an article that came out minutes ago. Dominique Strauss-Kahn was warned by, of all people, Nicolas Sarkozy. Before he left to run the International Monetary Fund, French President Sarkozy told him to control himself in the United States when it came to women. He said, over there, they don't joke about this sort of thing. The Times of London quoted Sarkozy as telling Strauss-Kahn. He says, your life will be passed under a magnifying glass. Avoid taking the lift alone with interns. France cannot permit a scandal. Now, the reason I speak with such a tone is because it's sort of a French translation of an English translation. Now, when the news broke this past weekend that Strauss-Kahn, the IMF socialist pig, was facing sex assault charges, Sarkozy aides told the Times that the president said, we did warn him. Now, many of us think that it was Sarkozy behind the setup. But if you read on to the article, you find out this guy has a lot of history as an aggressor towards women. Women are now coming out of the woodwork, claiming that he mistreated them during his advances. Now, this does fit the socialist mold. As you well know, socialists mistreat women on a scale of about 100 to 1 compared to conservatives, which is not to say all conservatives are fine fellows. But by and large, conservatives are more circumspect than socialists who consider women chattel. You do understand that the Daily Mail reported that a French talk show host who had a run-in with Strauss-Kahn said as many as 14 female friends had stories of his behavior. Count them, 14. She said, everyone knew about it. I have 14 women pals who have told me he tried to jump me. I think that guy has an illness, Addison, whatever her name is, said. It also came out that the alleged victim, or shall I say the accuser, the Muslim woman, lives in an apartment building in the Bronx, New York, that is set aside for people with HIV or AIDS. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. May have a lot to do with it. If she is living in a building for those with HIV or AIDS, does that change the story for you in any way? Yes or no? The woman lives in a building. The New York Post did the work. They found out they wouldn't release her name. Yesterday we learned she's a Muslim. Today we learned that she lives in a building for people with HIV or AIDS. Does that change the picture for you in any way? Yes or no? Now, why has the media decided to forget we're still fighting a war in Libya, a third war under Obama? Obama claims that this is the most transparent administration in history, but I believe it's the most opaque administration in U.S. history. Recently, they expelled the Boston Herald from the White House press room because they wrote a favorable article or published an op-ed by Mitt Romney. It's also the most opaque administration in U.S. history in many, many other ways. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I could see you're not interested in the slime ball from France. I could see that already. It's dead in the water. It's had its time. Well, what's going on here is a fairy tale. The witch, the rich white French against the poor black American. The evil man against the good victim. Well, still there are people who believe the whole thing did happen. So therefore, he should be found guilty without a trial. I believe he should be found guilty and thrown into the East River. Of course, that's what the left would say. She could never have been a consensual partner in this. She could not have been a hooker. She could not have been caught robbing or stealing. Absolutely, it's the evil white male. But the fact of the matter is, it could also be Sarkozy and his people who set him up with this. In either case, he did something with this woman, whether it was consensual or not. And he is a socialist pig. I mean, that's why we call him socialist pig affectionately. I happen to like pigs. I don't think they're bad people. But if you're a sheeple, I can't help you with this. The fact of the matter is, I think he was set up. And it doesn't matter what I think, because he's guilty as charged, irrespective of what I think. 1-800-449-8255. Also in the news, Obama's pledging new Mideast aid. He's going to announce a new aid plan for the Middle East and Northern Africa, which includes debt cancellation. Did you hear that? Debt cancellation. I'd like debt cancellation for America with China. I'd like China to forgive our debt. And then hundreds of millions of dollars going to countries in the Middle East, including Jordan, primarily to Jordan. Where is the money coming from? Will Obama bother to consult with Congress? And why is Obama paying more attention to the Middle East than to the Midwest? Also in the news today, the Chinese generals are in America viewing sensitive U.S. military bases. This is part of Obama's transparency. He has a transparency with regard to the military when it comes to China, but no transparency when it comes to the American people. Chinese generals and staff are scheduled to view sensitive U.S. military sites later this week, including Nellis Air Force Base, where they conduct cyber warfare exercises. Is Obama deliberately trying to give advantage to the Chinese? And what are the Chinese letting us see in exchange for their peek into our cyber warfare bases? The answer is their backsides. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com website. Let's go to the first caller today out of Sacramento, California. Jennifer, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. I just wanted to say that I basically think that the woman's residence should have no relevance in the case as far as where she lives. I don't think that makes a difference.
Does the fact that she may have, wait a minute, does the fact that she's living in a residence for people with HIV/AIDS have no bearing on this case at all?
I really would say no. It's hard to dismiss that. That's true. I'll give you that. But
well, let's say the man is presumed innocent. You're already presuming him guilty, and she's the innocent one, aren't you?
No. Let's
ask you this. Do you have any sympathy for the fact that it may not be as she states it is or not?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yes, I certainly can. I don't want to, but I will. Do you have any sympathy for the fact that it may not be as she presents the case to be?
Yes, I do.
And so, therefore, could you equate the possibility in your analysis that perhaps it was consensual sex or she was caught robbing something and he confronted her? Is that a possibility or not?
At this point, because it's at such an early point in a situation, I would say most things are not 100% discountable.
Okay, but hold it. So, therefore, if you were on the grand jury, wouldn't it be relevant that the woman lives in a housing, in an apartment house set aside for people with HIV/AIDS?
To an extent, I think it would be stressed.
Look, the fact of the matter is there are only a few ways for a person to acquire AIDS. You understand that, don't you?
That's absolutely true. But
it is a very difficult disease to acquire. Let us be very clear about it. If it was an easy disease to acquire, most of us would have it by now. Fortunately, it's very difficult to transmit HIV/AIDS. It can only be transmitted through, I don't have to go into the details, either through blood or through sexual behavior. It can be done through a transfusion, that is true. It can be transferred through a transfusion, that is also true. But by and large, this is a difficult disease to acquire, which is a very good, it was very good news for the general population. But should we simply, because we're all politically frightened, not even talk about the fact that the newspaper in New York found out she lives in a building set aside for people with HIV/AIDS? I mean, they thought it was a valid point.
I wouldn't go that far, but as far as it influencing the case, I would try.
Did he do it or not? Did he rape her?
At this point, it's really too early to say. And
all right, thank you very much. Love Child and the Legacy. We could talk about Schwarzenegger. There's nothing more to say about it. I mean, the guy stooped his maid, and she gave birth within a week of Maria Shriver. Now, remember when he ran for governor? I was opposed to him from the first week. I called him a number of names that, in low German, reflect a certain ornament that hangs from a Christmas tree. But the fact of the matter is, the radical left hated him from the beginning, and they said that he was a womanizer, and the right-wing media said, no, that's unfair. He's not a womanizer. Remember when he was running, they said Schwarzenegger's a womanizer? Now, what do you expect from a muscle-bound weightlifter with no education whatsoever who used steroids, allegedly? Do you expect him not to be a womanizer? He was in love with himself. The guy had a great body. He looked at himself in the mirror 53 times a day in order to see how his abs and his lats and his glutes looked. So he needed someone to confirm that he was gorgeous, Mr. Gorgeous. He couldn't find it in one woman. So why are you shocked by any of this? Now, as far as the scandal in New York of the socialist pig, the IMF pig, as I predicted, anti-Semitism would flare up as a result of this, in the fact that the alleged perpetrator is Jewish, the alleged victim is Muslim. And I thought that the first slur against Jews would come from Karachi instead of Ann Colt. Act Jews. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The maid's lawyer is saying the HIV rumor is false. So, you know, it's a lawyer. He's her advocate. Then why is she living in a building for HIV AIDS people if she doesn't have HIV AIDS? It has to be an adult. She lives allegedly with her child. So how'd she get in that building? New revelations keep popping up as book claims DSK assaulted a Mexican maid. DSK is an acronym for the socialist pig. A woman who claims to be a former colleague of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the socialist pig, wrote a book that says the IMF chief is credited with several alleged sexual assaults, including a Mexican maid. Mexican news agency cited an article in an Italian paper called Corriere del Sera that discusses the story. Apparently, he jumped a Mexican chambermaid, and it was hushed up in Mexico. Nevertheless, we have to quote this. The book says this. He is always on the hunt for new women. He is a pleasure seeker. Like all great political animals, he has trouble controlling himself. His eye for women is as sharp as a laser. I'm going to switch now into a sort of French translation of a Truffaut movie. When he enters a cafe, an office, or any public place, the ritual is the same. He does a little survey, turning his head almost imperceptibly to the left and to the right, while carrying on talking. It lasts only a few seconds, just enough time to evaluate his chances. After identifying his prey, he bombards them with text messages, usually with the opening salvo, I want you. Very, very subtle man, like all socialists. So apparently, the Daily Mail is saying that his alleged philandering may have seen him try to befriend the former victim in the weeks, blah, 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 blah. So he's in isolation in Rikers Island. Is there anyone listening to the program today from Rikers Island who can drop a quarter and give us a call? It's a toll-free call, 1-800-449-8255. Tell us how Mr. How's he handling it over there? Does anyone see the guy? Does he get special? He doesn't get special meals, does he? Like French meals brought in on the side? Is he allowed to cook in the cell? Does he get snails while you eat spam, whatever? What does he get over there? I can't imagine he's eating the drecky food from Rikers Island. But look, this is a joke for us because we are all... Remember I told you years ago there was a book called The Importance of Living by a Chinese-American writer named Lin Yutang that I loved when I was 18 years old, and it was called The Importance of Living. And it opens with a quote where he says the life consists not in the... how do you put it? Life does not consist in the highfalutin excesses of a philosopher, rather in watching our neighbor fall off the roof and getting our hair cut every 2 weeks. In other words, the average person, which is you and I, we enjoy scandal. We like seeing the other fellow fall off the roof. You know why you're enjoying this? If you're a guy, it's because it confirms that your sexual frustrations are valid. Either you don't have the desire or the wherewithal or the money to pursue them. But it also shows you that if you do pursue them, and at the end of the day, it's going to blow up in your face. So, in other words, it's good to be suffering like you're suffering and to justify it with some religion. In other words, you could say, wow, that was good. I'm glad that I followed my religious precepts and didn't run after any women. This could have happened to me. So that's one of the reasons we like it. And that's what when Lin Yutang said, watching a neighbor fall off the roof and getting our hair cut every 2 weeks, meaning keeping our nose clean. You know what I mean? The straight and narrow. A religious guy told me 20, 30 years ago the following. It was very beautiful. He said, life is like a boardwalk down in the middle of a fair. And he said, on the left and the right are temptations. And people trying to wave you in, come this way, step right in, step here. And he said, your goal is to keep walking down the straight and narrow down that boardwalk toward the end, meaning toward your life, without getting sucked into any one of these little booths. And the booth could be the woman, it could be the man, it could be the drug, it could be the gambling. Whatever it is, it could be the strawberry shortcake. It could be television.
Savage.
Old black magic has me in a spell.
Old black magic that you...
Why does Louis Prima music work for this segment? I don't know.
Up and down my spine.
It does. I swear to you, it works. Here we got a nuclear crisis still going on in Japan. Gas prices through the roof. The debt ceiling broken. Okay? We have the most opaque presidency in American history. We have a dictatorship emerging. And here we are focusing on attacking the foibles of a wealthy white socialist male. Why? Because watching your neighbor fall off the roof is part of the human condition. Play a little Louis Prima, we'll take.
Put out the fire!
Oh, guys like that, they burned out. They died younger than me. I ask myself why, but I will go into that another time. So the jail in which the socialist pig is housed was built in 1991, and it was designed to house inmates with TB and other communicable diseases. I guess satyriasis is now considered a communicable disease. You know, most people don't know what satyriasis is, and it's not the inability to stop satirizing people or the overly satirical. Satyriasis is the equivalent of male nymphomania. It's largely empty, and Mr. Strauss-Kahn, the socialist pig, was placed there because it would be easy to isolate him. He is housed in his own wing, an official said. Mr. Strauss-Kahn has a TV in his room and has access to an adjacent day room with a TV. He's entitled to an hour of exercise outside, but it was unclear if he took advantage of it on Wednesday when a driving rain fell in New York City for much of the morning and afternoon. If Mr. Strauss-Kahn is listening to talk radio on WOR in New York, drop a quarter and give us your side of the story. In the interim, we will go to Las Vegas. Angie, welcome. Thank you for calling the show. Angie, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, this is my idea. Listen to you every day about this pig tried to attack a maid in the hotel. I'm working in the industry, and let me tell you, for all this year that I'm working, these ladies, they are ready, to find anything happened to them just to sue the hotel, to sue the customer, to find any reason to get money. So, you know, these people, doesn't matter who, Mexican, Guatemalan, Ethiopian, Christian.
So in other words, most of these maids are ready. They come in these jobs and they know are ready to sue for any reason whatsoever. They're looking for it.
They are maids. And we think that these people, they are uneducated, but, you know, they are so clever, so smart. They're waiting for any...
Oh, yeah. Well, they were educated by the vermin from the ACLU. The minute they get off the boat or sneak across the border, there's an ACLUer waiting for them, which says, here's what you say. Me, immigrant, you, racist, I sue ACLU, and they dial 1-800-LAWYER.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, you know, I say, oh, the customer touch me, the customer do this, you know.
Oh, really? That's a standard thing now? They go to the hotel and say the customer touched them and they sue the hotel?
That happened all the time. That happened.
Oh, so this guy just happened to be a super big fish.
Yeah.
But she could in fact be a scam artist.
Yes. 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 So I don't know this person. I don't know who is this guy. I never see this guy in my life. But I see his face now that, you know, he's 60-something, and he's going to have sex with a maid in a hotel room. This is, they have to see.
See, that's what I was saying yesterday. The man is a wealthy, powerful man. Why does he need a maid in a hotel room when he can simply have dialed up a prostitution service, which, although it is illegal in New York City, certainly is very common, and everybody knows it?
Yeah, there is another part inside the hotels is going on that nobody knows.
There's another, look, if I were on the grand jury, I'd have to evaluate it from all these points of view. There's another confounding variable that throws off the whole story about her being a victim who was jumped on, and that is right after it happened, he went to lunch with his daughter, his adult daughter. If a guy raped somebody, you think he'd sit around in a room in a restaurant near the hotel and have lunch? At first, they reported he ran to the airport and left his cell phone behind. It could be, in fact, that he hadn't intended to return to the hotel and get his personal belongings because nothing had happened.
Yeah, there is a mafia inside the hotels, especially the big hotels. There is a mafia, there is a lot of people involved, you know, Filipino.
Oh, you mean like a lawsuit mafia that sets the maids up to sue the hotel for any kind of made-up story?
Yeah, there is a mafia inside the...
Wow. You know, I'm glad you told me that because you never really know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, in so many different ways. So any man listening to this show better pay careful attention to this lady who's calling. And I would suggest if you're in a hotel with your family, never let a maid in the room unless your wife is present. Never let a maid in the room unless your wife and children are present. Never be in a room alone with a maid. Would that be a good piece of advice?
You know, there is especially in those expensive hotels, there is a sign. It's called DD sign. Keep your DD sign. Don't let people get in your room if you're not there.
Incredible. Incredible. Now, you yourself work in the industry, Angie?
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to ask you anymore, but no. Thank you for blowing the whistle on your fellow employees. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There are other topics, many, many, many other topics we can talk about. None is interesting. None is delightful. We're not going to talk about Obama opening up our military bases to Chinese generals this week because, after all, he says it's the most transparent administration in history, and he meant it. The military bases are transparent to the communist Chinese. Of course, he's the most opaque president in U.S. history with regard to honesty, that we know. But when it comes to the communist Chinese, he is the most transparent of all presidents. They're visiting Nellis Air Force Base, where we supposedly conduct cyber warfare exercises. And if you ask, what are the Chinese going to give us in return? The answer is their backsides. Anywho, what do you want to talk about? Eileen in New York, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Eileen?
Hi, Michael. I'm 55 years old, and dear God, the world I came into is not the world I'm going to leave from.
Eileen, listen. This is the lament of every person over the age of 50. The world changes all the time. Was the world that your mother left you the same as the one she came to?
Can I make a point, Michael?
Hold on. You just made a point, but I'm refuting it in a way. The world doesn't stay still for anybody.
Okay, we all go through the rite of passage each generation. But I personally see this generation at this point in time where we pass that invisible line, that point of no return.
What do you mean? Hold it. What is your main complaint, that they're too sexually promiscuous?
Who? I'm not talking about that pig. I hope he gets what he deserves, like everything else, what's in the dark.
So what is your main complaint? What are you fetching about? What's wrong?
Politics, mostly. Politics.
Oh, you're talking about how we wound up with this con man in the White House, who is the most opaque, lying president in history, and pretends he's our savior? Is that what you're talking about?
All the pieces have been put into place for decades. Look at.
I know. Hold it. I'm going to get a migraine. I can't take it. I'm on the verge. I just felt it was like a migraine was about to clamp. You remember those ads? They were great ads. They would show a man, and it says a migraine is about to clamp, and then you're supposed to reach for a medication. It's easy to just hang up on a caller who's about to clamp down on your head. Let's see the newspaper roundup for Wednesday, May 18th, 2011. New York Post. State thug registry would name the violent New York felons. I don't think they should do that because there'd be no one left in the legislature. New York Times, fewer emergency rooms available as need rises. Study says urban and suburban areas have lost 25% of their emergency departments in the last 20 years. There's an answer for that, all of you stupid idiots at the New York Times. They've gone bankrupt from the illegal aliens sucking them dry and bankrupting them. Politico, GOP elite sees Mitch Daniels as 2012 savior. Don't know who he is, never heard of him. He wouldn't get 1% of the vote. Politico, Bobby Jindal praises President Obama on flood response. Remember how hot he was 2 years ago during Katrina? They were actually floating the idea that Bobby Jindal could be a president. You hear? The idiots in the Republican Party? South Florida Sun Sentinel, Key West aims to prevent dengue fever outbreak. Now, I know a lot about dengue fever because I was deeply involved in tropical diseases for many years when I lived in the Fiji Islands. And dengue fever is also known as breakbone fever. It's extremely painful. It was not endemic to the United States. It was wiped out from the United States, but because of a flood of illegal aliens coming in primarily from Haiti, dengue fever is now a problem in South Florida. That's not from the newspaper. That's from yours truly. The Hill, Dem plan for millionaires surtax intended to soften GOP. Fox News, more schools mulling affirmative action for illegal aliens. You know where I stand on that. Boston Globe, U.S. gives thousands of Haitians a deportation reprieve. Decision allows them to apply to stay here until 2013. That's a great decision. Well, Obama needs them for votes right after the election. We'll see what happens. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Texas, Mary, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Okay, I got a couple of things here about Dominique. Evidently, now,
you mean the socialist accused?
Right. The Jacques, anyway. Yeah,
Jacques.
Yeah, he's got a penchant for maids, evidently. I think somebody knew this. And they set him up, and they set the maid up, too. They told him, we're sending you a hooker. She looks just like a maid. She won't even have makeup on. She gets up there, and he, you know, okay, we're going to play this little fantasy. And that's what happens, too.
Well, that's a possibility, but she did work in the hotel, so I would say that she was not straight out sent from the, you know, the outside in.
She wasn't part of it. And then another thing that's disturbing.
Wait, hold on. No. She worked in the hotel. She was not, you know, an outsider sent in. She was an employee of the hotel, so part of your scenario is invalid, I believe.
No, part of my scenario is that someone told him that the maid would be coming up. They weren't sending a maid. They just, you know.
Well, we don't know, but you will, in other words, you suspect that this was a consensual transaction for dollars, and then she screamed rape in the middle of it.
No, I don't think that. I think somebody called him up and said the maid is coming up. And if they knew if they were smart enough to know when the maid was cleaning the room, and that she's, you know, this is a transactional thing, but she had no knowledge of it. This is what I think.
What do you mean he did? Then he did assault her?
Yeah, he thought she. She thought she was a hooker.
Oh! It's a double reversal.
Yeah, she looks just like a maid. She won't have makeup.
Oh my God! Somebody called him and. That's amazing. Boy, you would be a good mystery writer.
Yeah, I'm a
mystery. What do you do for a living, Mary?
Sorry? I'm a nurse case manager. And I'm also...
Wow. Yeah, but you have a very suspicious mind. I should employ you as an idea person for my next novel.
I got one more thing. Mr. Gartner wants him out. A lot of people want him out. I'm not connecting the dots. I'm just saying. And
yes.
as far as the daughter at lunch, I talk to a lot of people. People do amazing stuff and then just turn around and act innocent. You know, people have been known to lie. So anyway.
In addition to being a great suspicious mind, you have a nice laugh too, Mary.
Thank you.
All right. Look, that's a heck of a scenario. That I never heard that before. That's very good. That all comes from working in a hospital. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
He came to this country under difficult circumstances, essentially seeking asylum in the United States with limited opportunity for education or experience in Guinea.
All right, here's the mouthpiece, Shyster lawyer for the alleged victim.
Single mother.
Now we learn that she came under asylum from West Africa. Now, what basis would she be granted asylum? Okay, and she's living in a building for HIV/AIDS victims. I'm sorry, there's another element that's emerging here. I don't believe a word that comes out of a Shyster lawyer's mouth to begin with. So, you know, and remember, anyone is innocent until proven guilty. Although he's been tried and convicted, it's over for him politically. He may walk on this case anyway. It's a good time to remember this is a morality play. At the end of the day, what is this really all about? Why is America fascinated by sex scandals to begin with? I told you why, because it's not you enmeshed, it's someone else. And when it's a rich and powerful guy who gets brought down by a lowly maid, it has all the elements of great drama. It's Shakespearean, it's biblical. You look at the Bible, okay? Thou shalt not murder, okay? He didn't murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, well, okay. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt thou not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, okay, those are the big ones. Those are the big ones. So what did he do that was wrong here? Well, a lot of things he did that were wrong here, but does that make him a rapist? We don't know. We do not know. We don't know. He may have a history of abusing women, but if you know the law, you're not even allowed to bring up a person's history in a law, in a trial. Did you know that? Did you know that the vermin lawyers have set things up so that if you are trying an individual for rape, you cannot bring forth in that courtroom previous victims of rape? They will say that it will bias the jury. Do you know that's what the vermin lawyers have done to the judicial system, which is why the streets are filled with such dangerous individuals? And yet here on the radio, television, we're allowed to talk about it freely because the poor man is sitting there in a jail. He's not yet in a court of law, and we're not the jury. So in the court of public opinion, he's finished. But it doesn't mean he raped her. To me, the biggest story is how Obama's turning America's military secrets over to China. How Obama destroyed NASA. How Obama is deballing the military. These are big stories, but there's nothing to talk about there. That's why it's easy to talk about this story. You know what I'm saying? Florida, Eddie, go ahead. What do you think?
Hey, Mike, I just had a comment on the socialist pig. It kind of reminds me of the same thing with Kobe Bryant, you know, I don't know, for some reason, you know, when it first came out in the media, everybody started going crazy over it. You know, straight away pointing fingers at Kobe Bryant, but not even...
I was the only one in the media who said she was Rocky Mountain white trash. I defended Kobe Bryant, not because it was a man versus a woman, but because I took one look at her and her mother, and I took one look at the girl's history, and I said, Rocky Mountain white trash accuses black man. I was the only one in the media who defended Kobe Bryant. I've had black men stop me in the streets of San Francisco and congratulate me for it. Do you know that?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Even with this case, you know, when it first came on the news, even like this instinct for some reason, when you just hear about it, the first thing that comes to your mind is you just start blaming the guy all the way, like straight away, automatically, without even taking the chance to think about, you know, that this lady, I don't know, I'm guessing she's at whatever housing she's in. I mean, I don't know. Is it state funded?
I don't know any more about who pays for her room, but we do know she came here as an illegal immigrant, and she was granted asylum. Now, for what reason, we don't know. On what basis was she granted asylum as an immigrant? There are only a few categories of asylum, and one of them is, if you remember, under the whack job Bill Clinton, and then under the wackier job George Bush, anyone with AIDS became an qualified for asylum. You hear this?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a crazy world. We have everything is upside down. Everything is. It's a world that makes no sense to anybody anymore. When you have a man like Bill Clinton giving a speech at a university and giving a speech with a straight face when he talks about the earth and leaving the earth a better place and we got to leave the earth more green, you believe a word of this? Listen to clip 16. This is a man giving a college graduation speech.
The world we live in is unsustainable because of the way we produce and consume energy.
Oh,
we
please.
Have to find a way to put more people to work by reducing our carbon and other greenhouse gases.
Oh, turn him off. What a double-talking liar. God, I can't take it anymore. Only idiot college students who are on medical marijuana and 15 other drugs can listen to Bill Clinton and think he's telling him the truth, number one, and believe a word he says. Name one conservative invited to give a commencement speech this year. Name one. I don't know of any. I don't know of any. Instead, we have the same drivel coming out of the mouths of the same people who were thrown out of office.
Savage.
This man, for having raped the maid, would not agree with the French that he was set up, you see, because they like it the other way. So let's look instead at the IMF, where the pig worked. He was the head of the IMF, allegedly going to become shortly the president of France, because Sarkozy's down in the polls. What is the IMF? Is it the International Misogynist Fund, as some would say? It's the intergovernmental organization that oversees the global financial system. In other words, this is the heart and soul of the New World Order. And so you could say this is almost a godsend, what happened here. They claim that its objectives are to stabilize international exchange rates. If that is the truth, then why are they destroying the U.S. dollar? The answer is because Obama and Geithner were put in power in order to make sure that the IMF and the international bankers could destroy the U.S. dollar and render us virtually rudderless and weak. We read that the IMF works to improve the economies of its member countries, but at what cost? That is like saying that welfare helps the poor. Well, that's true. Welfare helps the poor, but where does the money come from? It comes from the middle class. The IMF, in other words, is a mafia, a sort of international mafia that steals from the middle class of the prosperous working nations and gives to the deadbeat bums in Greece, in Portugal, in Ireland, and the other countries that are now floundering. And so, therefore, maybe this is the hand of fate or the hand of God, whichever way you want to look at it. New York City, W.R. Rob, what do you want to say about this case of the socialist pig and the alleged rape?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. I work for a drug rehabilitation center, and in order to live in supportive housing, you do have to have HIV.
All right, but allegedly, the New York Post says she allegedly lives in a building reserved for people with HIV/AIDS in the Bronx. Well, how could she get in there? And her lawyer says she doesn't have HIV or AIDS. So how did she get in there?
You have to have AIDS. It's also funded by the AIDS Institute, the Housing Urban Development. So she most likely does have AIDS.
Well, her lawyer, I mean, we know lawyers don't lie. He said she doesn't have AIDS nor HIV. We can't expect a lawyer to be lying, could we? I mean, he's certainly an honest man.
Listen, lawyers are the biggest liars. Come on. You know that, Dr. Savage.
Well, don't get me started, except my lawyer.
Also, one more thing. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I believe that he was set up by the club. And when I mean the club, I'm talking about the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. He belonged to that one of those elitist groups. And he
okay.
probably did something that he got out of line. They said, you know what? We're going to take him out.
Well, I don't think we have to go that far. He was going to be running for the presidency of France. He was running ahead in the polls against Sarkozy. He would have been a socialist as opposed to a nationalist taking over France. We could certainly suspect that it was the Sarkozy team that could have set him up. I mean, we don't have to go any further than that.
Absolutely. You know, I read a story a long time ago about Reverend Billy Graham. And any time that he went to a hotel room, he always had somebody with him. They used to check the room. And somebody was with him at all times. All the time.
You mean to make sure he was not set up?
Exactly.
Well, you know, somebody asked me that the minute this happened, that morning, Monday morning. She said to me, wait a minute, isn't it true that powerful people always have guards around them or people near them to prevent this from happening, kind of like somebody, an intermediary? I said, well, they're not going to be there when the guy's having sex with a woman in the room. So she said, well, wait a minute, they'd be outside, but they'd be nearby. I mean, this wouldn't, where was the bodyguard for a guy of this magnitude?
Exactly. The whole thing was a setup. And I used to work not that far from where your father had that antique shop.
Really?
Ludlow Street, yeah.
Oh, my God. That goes back a long way. You know, I hear your voice, and you're a guy who works in drug rehab. And you know, Rob, it's just a matter of fate that I didn't wind up going down your road. I mean, in many ways, I could have been anything. You remember Henry Miller wrote, each morning I wake up and 1,000 paths open before me. It's true for all of us. You know that, Rob?
You know what I say, Dr. Savage? Listen, whatever happened in my life happened, but I'm glad it did happen because it brought me to a better place where I am today.
Now, you're a lucky man if you really believe that and you really feel that. If you take a deep breath and say, you know what, it wasn't so bad. I did the right thing. I take care of sick people. You know what? You're way ahead of the curve.
Exactly. I have a loving family. I have children.
I could tell you about a lot of rich people who have empty lives. Their souls are screaming every day to feel what you feel. I can tell you that right now. All right, man. Thank you very much for listening. See, I have a very diverse audience. It's very shocking, you would think. You're supposed to believe only a certain type of person listens to a certain type of show. So, look, we could talk about the maid and the socialist guy. Was he set up? Was he not? Forever. And it's a very interesting story, but we're not going to get anywhere. Do you want to talk about it any further? We can. The Socialist Party in France has made it clear it is not putting its plan to hold primaries on hold. In other words, they're going to go ahead with it, with primaries. And so, therefore, they're very frightened that the socialists who are definitely going to take over France and not going to take over France. And this mediocre President Sarkozy, as bad as he is certainly a lot better than what might have happened if this pig had taken over France. You know, but it doesn't make him guilty. Sure, he has a history of abusing women, but it does not mean he was not set up. That's what a court of law is for. You have to do discovery. You have to examine evidence. You have to put the accuser on the stand, and you have to try to break her on the stand. Otherwise, anybody can make up a story about anybody. Don't you understand how a system works? We're not living in Cuba where there's no trial except by the state, where they decide whether you're guilty in advance or not, or in the ex-Soviet Union. We are living in a nation with all of its failures and with a legal system that's flawed to beat the ban. We have a legal system which enables the accused to defend himself. And that means he can demand discovery. He can demand cross-examination of the maid on the stand. And at that point, things change. Remember this, please. I was the only one in the American media who called the accuser of Kobe Bryant Rocky Mountain white trash soon after it happened, after I evaluated her and her mother. That's number one, meaning through media reports of who they were. Number two, you remember the Duke LaCrosse case? I was the only one in the American media who, after evaluating the accuser and the accused, said that they were set up, and I was right again. With regard to this case, the more that comes out, I'm pretty sure he did molest her, by the way. However, I'm not sure it wasn't consensual and it went too far. I suspect either it was an agreed-upon transaction. You know, the guy was this horny, crazy, randy, stupid, uncontrolled animal. And he had a thing, obviously, for poor maids. This is not the first time. Anyone he could get his hands on, in other words, he had satyriasis. I'm trying to tell you, there really is a condition called satyriasis, and this approaches satyriasis, and that's not the being overly satirical. Satyriasis is male nymphomania. He is always in heat. He is always looking. He's always on the hunt. And he's always looking to force himself upon a woman. It is a disease. It's a mental disease. And it's not limited to socialists. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So maybe we can learn something. The man obviously suffers from a condition known as satyriasis. This has not yet come out in the newspapers. Satyriasis, which is not, I repeat, not the chronic desire to satirize everything. Satyriasis is excessive, often uncontrollable sexual desire in and behavior by a man. Another description of satyriasis is a neurotic condition in men in which the symptoms are a compulsion to have sexual intercourse with as many women as possible and an inability to have lasting relationships with them. It's sort of like nymphomania, but in males. Of course, today there is no longer a condition called nymphomania. It's called college girls. Today, they don't even the psychiatrists don't even refer to any woman who has this tendency as a nymphomaniac anymore. It's considered passé. But for most normal people, we know there are women who are beyond the average woman, even lusty women, and they're known as nymphomaniacs. But the same condition exists in men, and it's often overlooked, but it's the same kind of condition, an abnormal, uncontrollable sexual desire in men. It's also known as gynecomania, satirism, satyromania, and you don't have to be from Romania, as I said before, to suffer from it. You're a victim, in other words. So he really is a victim, and he needs treatment. And I believe that the American Psychiatric Association should come to his defense and say he's a poor victim. He suffers a disease known as satyriasis. He can't control himself. And he should be released immediately into their care so that he can be receiving the treatment that he needs. Pennsylvania, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, we have an alleged economic upheaval in the world, and we have people like this guy running the IMF.
Correct. He's the man who was in charge of dispersing the tax money of United States citizens to the bums in Greece and Portugal and Ireland.
I think they live in a world, a totally different world, that's totally parallel to us. My son says, he's 18 years old, he says, Dad, everything is completely backwards. And he's only 18, and he knows.
Well, it is backwards when you have an imposter like Obama in the White House, who was put in by George Soros. Remember, he raised $750 million, which was the most astonishing amount of money ever seen in the history of the presidency. How did he get that much money? Where did it come from? Do you really believe Obama got $750 million from the little people of America? Much of that money came from foreign sources, and it was bundled and sent here under an American banner. This man was put into office the same way the 1919 World Series was fixed in the minds of millions of people.
Why won't the American media tell the truth is what I want to know about all these people?
The answer is simple. George Soros has spent $48 million buying people on ABC, CBS, NBC. Women like Christiane Amanpour are a wholly owned subsidiary of George Soros and his left-wing factions. The fact of the matter is these people are no different. These journalists who are supposed to be objective, and I can name 10 of them. There's a great expose on Fox News right now about George Soros and his $48 million and the Sandlers. I'll tell you about them in a minute, from Great Western Savings, how they made $1.2 billion and how they're spending it in buying journalists. They are as independent as the hookers in a Romanian brothel owned by the Russian mafia. They are the same as sex workers, and that includes most of the mainstream media that you know of. They're no different than the sex workers in a Romanian whorehouse. What do Herbert and Marion Sandler have to do with this? Who are they? This is an interesting story that came out years ago. They have bought their way into American journalism after cashing in their chips for the Golden West Financial Corporation that they sold a couple of years ago. The couple made their fortune, which Forbes estimates at $1.2 billion, at Golden West Financial Corporation. And they've spent tens of millions of dollars on politics and on journalism. And what did the Sandlers get for their millions, and what do they want? According to Salon at the time, perhaps to return us to the days of the partisan press. In other words, these billionaires from the San Francisco Bay Area, Herbert and Marion Sandler, have promised $100 million over 10 years for a nonprofit group they founded called ProPublica, which supposedly produces investigative journalists. But what they really are left-wing operatives, fanatics. In 2004, Herbert Sandler gave the MoveOn.org voter fund $2.5 million, according to the FEC database. The Center for Responsive Politics website reports donations of $8.5 million from Herbert and Marion Sandler to a group called Citizens for a Strong Senate. They gave millions of dollars to John Edwards at the time. I guess that was a bad bet. The Sandlers have an enthusiasm for journalism and journalists, by the way, that goes way back. And their goal is no different than that of their friend George Soros, which is to completely change the way you receive news and what you believe news really is. The fact of the matter is, they own much of the media. They own much of the media, and all of it is far left based. Now, you have to ask yourself, why do billionaires like the Sandlers and Soros want to fund left-wing organizations? Why have they bought people like Christian Amanpour of ABC News, who is no different, in my opinion, than a sex worker in a Romanian brothel? How do you build up a savings and loan association loaded with mortgages that are basically worthless, sell the bank, get out just before the crash, take $1.2 billion, and then spend it on left-wing fanatics in the press? The answer is you don't want anyone investigating you. Don't you remember how it worked in The Godfather? Remember after the Michael Corleone shoots the corrupt police detective who was on the payroll of the Turkish drug importer? They have to spin a story. Remember the great line that Coppola, Puzo came up with, which is, who do we know in the press? Who do we own in the press? And then they start running the newspaper headlines, corrupt cop, corrupt cop, corrupt cop. And suddenly the picture changes slightly. You are living in a period of the worst yellow journalism in modern American history, and it is polluted with the money of George Soros and the Sandlers. I accuse them.
Savage.
So the world is on fire. The Middle East is burning. Israel's about to go because of Obama and George Soros' fund. Egypt has turned into an anti-Christian hellhole, all because of George Soros, Jimmy Carter, and Brzezinski. And we're talking about a socialist with satyriasis. And, of course, that's because we can talk about it. We're interested in it. We could probably have something to say about it, whereas we can't say anything about the most opaque presidency in American history. John Updike wrote, though usually family men, they never really love anybody. And though always heterosexual to the point of satyriasis, they especially don't love women. And Adamus Helikia Crook wrote in a book in 1615 that an enlarged prostate gland in man, ape, monkey, or bull indicates satyriasis. And he said, the great baboons which were here to be seen amongst us, for they would in a manner offer violence even to a woman. So the great socialist baboon rotting in a protective custody cell in Rikers Island will soon face the grand jury, which I think met yesterday. One day, of course, he will have to face his accuser and she will have to face him. My suspicion is it will not come to that. My suspicion is her shyster lawyer is already working on a settlement with the wealthy Mr. Khan, the crazed baboon, and the case will eventually go away, and he will go away as well, lost to the world of politics, reduced to simply cruising the hotel corridors of southern France. Wisconsin, LAT, Lat, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I was diagnosed with satyriasis. It's a disease where a sickness, we're lusting, and you're never satisfied with any women. I've been out with a lot of beautiful women, and you just want more and more and more.
You actually had a doctor who knew what satyriasis was?
Yeah, well, a psychiatrist diagnosed me with it, too.
And how did he cure you? Because the only cure is castration. I don't assume he did that.
No, the way I was cured is through religion, through God, and God delivered me.
All right, I'm not going to laugh it off. Explain to the audience, when you have an impulse towards a woman, what do you do?
you'll do anything. You'll fix it. You'll do anything to have that.
No. I'm saying, how do you overcome it is what I mean.
The only way to overcome it is go get it.
No, you're not answering me. You said you cured yourself through religion. So I'm asking you, if you're walking down the street and you see someone that you would normally have lusted after in years ago, how do you deal with that impulse now?
I pray to God about it, that the impulse will go away, and it does go away.
What do you mean? The minute you feel that desire or that urge or you fear it coming on, you say, God save me?
Yep, I do. Absolutely. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I do.
Does it work?
It does work. It's hard. I'm not saying it's tempted, but it does work. It keeps the lustful desires out of my mind. They only come in for a split second, they leave.
So is that much like AA? Does AA work in the same way?
Somewhat. It does. Similar, but that's what delivered me from it, Michael.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I know millions of people have the same exact story. There's virtually no other cure for addiction other than a faith.
I think what happened with that former, that IMF member over in France,
yes.
I think they know he has addiction with women. I believe that he was set up to control him because they know they can control these people through women and lustful desires like they did with Kennedy. President Kennedy was controlled that way.
Oh, absolutely. That used to be well known in the CIA. It's a reason they wouldn't hire certain individuals because of their sexual impulses, because they knew they were easily blackmailed and couldn't control themselves or wouldn't. Well, those days are long gone now. It's reported right now that he's going to be released tomorrow on $1 million bail, and he will be subject to electronic monitoring while remaining in New York City. That should be something tomorrow with the clicking of the cameras. My God. You know, the part of this that bothers me the most is that the law is so biased against men that the accuser does not have to show her face. You know, I don't understand a justice system that permits anybody to make... Let's say it's not true. Let's say it is true. I want to see the accuser. Don't you remember in the beginning of the Duke LaCrosse case, the poor victim? Don't you remember? The stripper who claimed she was raped in the bathroom? All of a sudden, she was sheltered by women's groups, and all of the jerks on the college campuses had solidarity with her, and it turned out she was a filthy, dirty, degenerate, dirtbag liar? Okay. All right. I see things as they really are. In this case, I believe he did something to her, but I believe it may have been set up on a different basis than it emerged. And I believe she was part of a conspiracy to bring him down. That doesn't mean that he didn't go overboard or that he didn't try to hurt her. Okay? So it won't get to that. Believe me, they're going to release him on bail. It's already been worked out with the French embassy. If they're releasing him tomorrow on bail, which, by the way, they have to do, they could have released him on bail the first day, which is what they should have done. That was a disgrace. But that's a product of the politically correct judicial system in New York City and elsewhere. And that horrible mayor in that city, my God, that horrible mayor, you know where he is today? He's up arguing for same-sex marriage somewhere in Albany. And he's saying, well, sure, he should be put in jail. Look, Bloomberg is what he is. New York, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, pleasure to speak with you. I was thinking that possibly, remember the riots that they had in France a few years ago where they
yes.
were burning everything and cars and
yes.
all that? Well,
you mean when the Muslims were burning the cars?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And isn't it possible that an imam told her to try to seduce him and then to induce whatever he wanted, knowing that she...
I don't know. Anything's possible. Anything is possible. But that's a stretch of the imagination to bring an imam into it, I think.
Well, maybe it wasn't an imam. Maybe it was just... some fanatic.
I mean, you want me to be fair to the discussion? I would say maybe a rabbi told him to molest her to get even for what the Muslims did to the Jews. I mean, it'd be the same thing. You can't go there because that's completely irrelevant to the situation at hand. I wouldn't bring in religion or religious figures, but it's going to come up again. Already that mythic slur about the IMF guy. She said, I guess because he was Jewish and she was a Muslim, he could claim he did it in self-defense. That's because she's a noted anti-Semite, in my estimation. And whenever there's a Jewish person in the news, she can't help herself but show her, you know, her white trash background, wherever she were in Connecticut, I would guess. And the only people who would befriend her would be people like Bill O'Reilly, who no doubt behind the scenes agrees with her. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Texas, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yesterday's Wall Street Journal reported that a prominent French politician has come forward who happens to be the godmother of the pig's current wife. She stated that in 1992, her then...
I know, he raped her, and today it came out that he did it to 14 other women. That's why I've been talking about satiriasis. So what's new now? What do you have that's new in the report? Anything new other than that?
He apologized. He said that he thought they were playing a sex game and that he was confused.
Oh. Yeah, well, look, you'll say anything when you're caught, you know. But, you know, Andy in New York has something, or I wouldn't take his call, that's new. Strauss-Kahn may be leaving Rikers Island tomorrow on $1 million bail. And tomorrow when that happens, you'll see the mouthpiece for the accused is going to change his pitch because they've already worked something out in my estimation. Big money's already been chained. They agreed to some big. She's going to withdraw the charges. He's going to leave the country. You won't hear of this much longer. This is not going to go on. The French don't want it any more than the American government doesn't want it. This is going to go away very fast. It's all money. And the so-called victim, you'll never hear from her again unless she's given a talk show on Fox News. We'll have to wait and see. New York WOR, Andy, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you. I would like to say that I'm really surprised that the head of IMF didn't run to the French ambassador right after that situation. Somebody in this position must have some kind of a protocol in case of criminal events.
You mean, wait a minute, if he had committed such an act as he is accused of, and he was running for his life, as originally reported falsely by the press, he would have gone to the French embassy and he would have been given asylum?
That is correct.
And he would have been able to leave the country under diplomatic immunity?
Yes. Therefore, I suspected that somebody from French government was involved in this.
Yeah, I agree with you, because the French government is the opposition to his socialist party. I agree with you from day one. They set him up, or they set her up to go after him.
Yes.
I mean, that's why 57% of French people don't believe that he did this. They believe he was set up. See, the American people are rather naive in many ways. Unfortunately, it's true. And they buy anything that comes out in the newspaper. Remember what H.L. Mencken said in the 20s. no one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. I think it's still true. It's unfortunately still true. That's how we wound up with Obama as president. I mean, how else do you explain that a man with no background whatsoever with such incredible left-wing ties would wind up running the United States of America? There's no other explanation than H.L. Mencken. No one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. As Beowulf, my producer, has just sent me a note, I guess this is the latest IMF bailout. Very, very funny. Okay. Oklahoma, Mary, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I've been a private housekeeper cleaning homes for private families for 32 years. And during this 32 years, I work really hard. I've had three incidences where men have approached me.
Right.
And the first one, I was 16 years old when I started. And
right.
The husband had to take me home after cleaning their home. And
right.
He started explaining to me, and I had no idea what he was talking about because I was so naive. He said that he was a very wealthy man, had lots of properties and condos, and did I know of anybody, any of my friends, who would be interested in being his mistress? And I just simply said no because I didn't even know what he was talking about. I was only 16 and he was in his 60s.
Right,
and when
right.
I got home, I said to my mother, what's a mistress? And she said, why are you asking me this? I said, Mr. So-and-so asked me if any of my friends would want to be his mistress. And she said,
so I guess what you're saying is this is very common, that men do come on to housekeepers and maids.
Yes, I was 16 and he was in his 60s. What would any 16-year-old want to do with a 60-year-old?
Well, the answer is absolutely nothing unless they were forced into prostitution.
Right. And, you know, I've been doing, I'm 49 now. Nobody bothers me anymore. I'm a lot tougher.
You're also not 16 anymore either.
Oh, that's right. It took me a while to wise up, but, you know, I work really hard. I'm still a
So you're suspecting that he did commit such an act?
I don't
know. I don't think
nobody knows. You see, that's the point. When I come back, the top 10 news stories of the day right here on the Savage Nation. Savage. Defense Secretary Gates is saying someone in Pakistan knew about Osama bin Laden and where he was living. Well, I certainly believe that. I also believe somebody in the U.S. government knew for over a year, and they were waiting for the right day. And no one's talking about the timing of the attack on Osama bin Laden. Ron Paul. Ron Paul, as I said to you, has some good ideas, but Code Pink, the far-left radical group, says that Ron Paul shares its very views against Israel. There's your Ron Paul for you. Okay, scratch the surface of Ron Paul, and what you find is something other than what you see. What else is in the news? Everything and nothing. Look, we could talk about all of the news, and there's really big news out there. What Obama's doing to the country on a daily basis is big news. New Mideast aid, where's the money coming from? He's letting Chinese generals come in here tomorrow to view sensitive U.S. military sites, including Nellis Air Force Base, where we conduct cyber warfare exercises. What sane person would let the Chinese generals into our top secret military bases other than someone who's playing for the other side? And yet you don't want to hear about it. What you really want to talk about is this case because it's the human condition. And I understand that. You don't want to talk about the Sandlers. You don't want to talk about Soros buying the media. I understand that because you can't do anything about it. You can't really relate to it. Why do you want to talk about this case in New York? Because it's of human interest. It's the human condition. It's frankly about human bondage. That's what it's really about. The sexual society, the hypersexualized world that we live in the West is really a story about human bondage, where all of us, whether we are actively participating or wish we were actively participating or purposely not participating, are in fact all in the same prison of a hypersexualized society where the imagery does not stop. There's not a website in America in the news media that doesn't show a scantily clad woman in a bikini, the worst offenders being the New York Post and, of course, the Fox News. But that's how they built their reputation and name, and they do some good as well. We know that sex sells. What are you going to do, complain about it? It's been going on since the beginning of time. And that's why we're talking about it. WOR, New York, Roman, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. Yes, I agree that there's hypersexuality in this, but I wouldn't just blame in the West. I mean, there's lots of other people, and lots of great leaders have sexual issues. Jacob Zuma, president of South Africa, is marrying his fifth wife. John F. Kennedy cheated on his wife. You know, what, that king of Swaziland has like four wives. And many of these leaders think they can get away with it, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah. So what's your main point?
The main point is that this hypersexuality in this world has to be stopped. Pornography.
Well, no one's going to stop it. Pornography is as kosher as look, you go into a Marriott hotel today, you can order a porno film. You can't find the Bible. I told you this before. It's a profit center, the porno on the TV. How do you explain that? It's a Mormon hotel chain, the Marriott hotel chain, and yet they have pornography on the television set. And the poor traveling businessman who in the past might have reached for a Gideon Bible now reaches for Susie Does Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys. And then he bills it to the bill, and it doesn't even show up as a video rental. It shows up as, I don't know, peanuts or something, so that he can then put it on the hotel bill. Snacks, room service, you know. Profit is the money rules everything. So you're not going to see the Bibles that went out with the... Remember in the old days, you go in a hotel room, you get the shakes in the middle of the night. You had a Gideon Bible. Now you reach for the controller and you put on Susie Does Dallas. That's the new world that we live in. And what are you going to do about it? Don't travel. That's what you do about it. New York, WOR. Joseph, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Michael? I wanted to know how come nobody looked into this Maze finances the previous few days.
Well, because the grand jury should be doing that, but I suspect that he's already guilty. And that they're going to work out some payoff deal for her and her shyster lawyer, and that'll be the end of it. But look, there's a lot of suspicion. Now the lawyer is saying, well, although she lives in a building set aside for people with HIV/AIDS, she's only subletting, and she doesn't have HIV/AIDS. Now, if she's subletting, I guarantee you she's violating the terms of the lease. If you have a building set aside for people with HIV/AIDS, why should they be able to sublet it to someone without HIV/AIDS? I can guarantee you it's a violation of the lease.
Michael, I'm very surprised that she didn't hire his own detective to go through her finances.
Well, I don't know. Look, the guy has issues with women. The guy clearly suffers from a mental disorder known as liberalism and from satyriasis, which is a derivation of something else. I mean, liberalism itself is not necessarily satyriasis, but unfortunately, this man is not only suffering from the mental disorder of liberalism. He was former communist, by the way. You may not know that. The biggest story is Soros' $48 million media influence. It's an incredible story how he has bought Christiana Amanpour and many other people that you have come to think are respectable in the media, but they're not. They're the same as sex workers in a Hungarian brothel. You've got to read this this series of articles. It's on the Fox News website. I've linked it up on michaelsavage.com. Soros funds more than just the most famous journalism school in the nation. Do you know that Soros also owns the Columbia School of Journalism, headed by President Lee Bollinger, who also sits on the Pulitzer Prize Board and also sits on the board of directors of the Washington Post, all owned by George Soros? What else has he contributed to? The National Federation of Community Broadcasters, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, and the Committee to Protect Journalists. Who else does he own? I can name them one after the other. All poisoned with George Soros' hatred for America. All poisoned with money from the Sandlers as well. You have to ask yourself how you can live in a free country when the press is owned by who is the equivalent of a man who owns a brothel in Hungary. And people like Christiana Amanpour are the equivalent of sex workers, in my opinion.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today we're going to focus on the emerging fascist press in America, the better known as the progressive press. George Soros is, of course, on everyone's mind and worried that he has given $48 million to buy every journalist in the United States of America with every major news organization. But what you may not know is that there are other arms of the far left. The names Herbert and Marion Sandler should become household names in America. They funded ProPublica, the so-called new investigative journalism outfit, back in 2007. What it is a far-left organization funded by Bay Area billionaires Herbert and Marion Sandler. Now, who are they? Well, we'll tell you who they are in a minute. You should know that ProPublica hired 24 reporters and editors, and they are going to be based in New York City. And what their job is to do is to destroy any semblance of a free press in America. So who exactly are the Sandlers? And what do the Sandlers want for their millions? Well, they want to return us to the days of the partisan press. The Sandlers made their fortune, which Forbes estimates at $1.2 billion, at Golden West Financial Corporation. Sound familiar? They got out just before it blew up. Now, of course, Golden West was packed with mortgages that were worthless. In recent years, they've spent tens of millions on politics. The FEC databases shows the two of them giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to Democratic Party campaigns. In 2004, Herbert Sandler gave the MoveOn.org voter fund $2.5 million. The Center for Responsive Politics website reports donations of $8.5 million, $8.5 million from Herbert and Marion Sandler to a group of Citizens for a Strong Senate, which is really a setup that was closely tied to Senator John Edwards. Herbert Sandler also gave $1 million to the California Stem Cell Initiative. They've also funded the Progressive Center for American Progress, which I believe is behind the attack on me, Michael Savage. Now, who are the Sandlers? Well, there's an awful lot that needs to be said about the Sandlers. But you have to understand this. The funding for ProPublica, which is now committed to 10 years at $100 million, is a very, very dangerous situation. But that's just the beginning. What you don't hear about is the connection to George Soros. George Soros recently gave $1.8 million to NPR, and it was a big firestorm. But that was only a hint at the widespread influence that the billionaire, who hates America, has spent to control the media. Remember, this is the same George Soros who spent $27 million trying to defeat President Bush in 2004. But now it turns out, according to Fox News, that Soros has his tentacles into more than 30 mainstream news outlets, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Associated Press, NBC, and ABC. Prominent hacks like Christiane Amanpour of ABC and others serve on board of operations that take Soros cash. This despite the Society of Professional Journalists' so-called ethical code that states, avoid all conflicts, real or perceived. There's much more to this than meets the eye. The fact of the matter is, why would Soros be spending $48 million? What about the groups he has funded? A 14-person journalism advisory board stacked with CNN's David Gergen, remember him? And reps from top newspapers, a former publisher of the Wall Street Journal and the editor-in-chief of Simon & Schuster. That's who it is. Several of them on this board are working journalists, including Jill Abramson, a managing editor of the New York Times, Cynthia Tucker, Atlanta Journal, Kerry Smith, ABC News. The fact of the matter is, there are many, many others that are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Soros and Sandler organizations, the same way sex workers in Hungary are owned by the Russian mafia. This is a very dangerous situation, and it requires that people get involved immediately. There's also a well-known Center for Investigative Reporting. Important journalists, so-called, on the board. Very liberal editorial agenda. But what does that have to do with these people? Well, the board features Phil Bronstein. Remember him? The hack from the San Francisco Chronicle. Others you never heard of. But remember this. It counts among its media partners the Washington Post, Salon, CNN, ABC News. This group received close to $1 million from George Soros's Open Society from 03 to 08. Why does it all matter? Because we're told that journalists are supposed to be neutral, yet where are the concerns about where their money comes from? You must read this entire report by Dan Gaynor. It is on Fox News, and I've linked it up on michaelsavage.com. This is one of many, many stories that is so important for you to get your this is one of the most important stories for you to get your hands about around. Now, what's in the mainstream news? Iran goes nuclear. Just came out on the Drudge Report. That's right. We've been warned about it. We've been fearing it. The Iranian foreign minister says the Bushehr nuclear power plant is now operational. The power plant has gone operational today. Critically is, well, blah, blah, blah. So, also in the news, Secretary Gates is saying somebody in Pakistan knew about bin Laden's hideout. I'm not shocked by that. I'm sure that somebody in Washington knew about bin Laden's hideout. That's what I'd really like to know. Border Patrol chief says Canadian border bigger terror threat than Mexican border. Oh, my God. Incredible. Medvedev of Russia warns the West of a new Cold War. The White House has shut out a newspaper over its bias. Veteran reporters are mocking the White House press for kowtowing to the monarch Obama. Russia expels Israel's military attaché. Romney gets bump as GOP field narrows. Top military officials say it's time to stop talking about the bin Laden raid. And what about the French politician in New York? Well, did you hear the latest? His so-called victim, really his accuser, lives in an apartment building in the Bronx set aside for HIV victims. Really? Does that change the picture for you? Well, there are other issues that you have to hear about in that story. Dominique Strauss-Kahn of the IMF, the socialist. It turns out the maid may be infected with HIV. Came out that the African immigrant maid accusing Strauss-Kahn of rape lives in an apartment complex which is rented exclusively to adults infected with the AIDS virus. And I ask you, does this change the story in any way for you? Do you think she may have been a prostitute? Ann Coulter immediately came out with an anti-Semitic Twitter message about the story. Do you expect this sort of virulent racism to come from Connecticut instead of Karachi? French listeners, what do you think really happened here? Obama to pledge new Mideast aid. Obama will announce a new aid plan for the Middle East and Northern Africa, which includes debt cancellation with hundreds of millions of dollars going to Jordan alone. Where is the money coming from? Will Obama bother to consult Congress? Why is Obama paying more attention to the Mideast than the Midwest? Here's a shocker. Chinese to view sensitive U.S. military bases. That's right. Chinese generals and staff are scheduled to view sensitive U.S. military sites later this week, including Nellis Air Force Base, where they conduct cyber war exercises. Is Obama deliberately trying to give advantage to the Chinese? What are the Chinese letting us see in reverse? The answer is their backsides. Now I'll take your calls. Indianapolis, Dave, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Mike, if you want to influence people, urge them not to buy things made in China. But some of these things, if you make them here in the country, they're going to cost 10 times what we could otherwise pay for them. I mean, I love your show, man, and I love you. But sometimes you go off the deep end on this, on where stuff should be manufactured.
Well, let's talk about that. I actually disagree with you. I think that we should encourage manufacturing in America. And I, for one, would be willing to pay more for the goods rather than subsidize the Chinese military buildup.
Okay, Mike, I would, too, if, let's say, they were only maybe 1.5 times as expensive as if they were made overseas. Okay, what you do as a politician...
Well, but listen to what I'm saying to you. If we put a tariff on foreign goods, that would tend to make domestic manufactured goods compete with them on par, wouldn't it?
Well, it would if you didn't have things like capital gains and income tax and all the other embedded taxes that are already in a product. The thing that the politicians need to do, whether they're on the right, and they'll never do it if they're on the left, you create the atmosphere in the country for manufacturing to occur. That means basically you get out of the way. Now, I would be happy to pay $100 for a pair of boots. That would give somebody working in that factory a decent wage. I can't pay $500 if they're made
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is if we tariff Chinese goods for boots, let's say, and let's say the boots are leather and made from a slaughtered cowhide, a slaughtered cow in its hide, right? But because there's no tariff on that good, because the wage in China is arbitrarily low because they pay them starvation wages, they can flood our shores with goods. In addition to that, they're manipulating their currency and keeping its valuation at a level which is not at par with reality. If they were forced to revalue their currency and to pay a tariff on their goods, anything they wanted to sell in America, it would make the manufacturing of American goods appeal again to manufacturers. And I think factories would reopen throughout America, whether it be steel or a steel-toed boot. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I woke up and I had the birth certificate. There it was, and my mother's citizenship papers, my birth certificate, which I'll compare with Obama's any day, and Donald Trump's. I know where I was born and when. The hospital is still actually there, and it's not a newspaper ad, incidentally, nor is it a copy. I think it's actually the birth certificate. It's locked in the. It's very important to me. It's locked in a gun cabinet, in a glass gun cabinet. So I realize how lucky I am to have been born in America, the son of immigrants who taught me the work ethic. Someone asked me 2 weeks ago, I was walking in the street, and I struck up like on a park bench with a stranger. And the stranger said to me, "What's the most important thing your parents taught you?" I couldn't believe it. I was floored by it because no one had ever asked me the question. I was dumbfounded for an answer because no one asks that anymore, you know. And this individual said to me, "What's the most important thing your parents taught you?" So I thought and I thought and I thought. I said, "They taught me not to lie, and they taught me to work very, very hard and to love America." And this person said, "Boy, did you have good parents?" I mean, you think about it. I was drilled over and over again how great America was. It was the greatest country on earth. And believe me, these were people that didn't have a lot. And whatever they had, they worked for. No one took welfare. They would have rather jumped out of a window than taken welfare. So that when the next waves came in and moved into those tenements, and when they were on welfare and they wrecked the apartments, nobody could believe it from that generation, how they mistreated the country that gave them so much, you know? Oh, here's a good one. Mike in New York, WOR. What's on your mind, Mike?
Dr. Savage, this is how it's going right now. 32 years old, and I live in the heart of New York City, in one of the rural counties surrounding it. And it's hitting me about my father at 32 years old. He was fresh off the boat from Italy, roughly 5 or 6 years. He had 3 kids and a mortgage on a house and a pretty good job. Me, on the other hand, I'm a college graduate. I live in a basement apartment, and I can't even fathom the difference in 32 when he was 32 and 32 when I'm in 32. I feel like it's...
I know what you're... So in other words, you're comparing yourself to your father, and you're asking yourself why, if I have a college degree, I'm living in a basement apartment when at my age he was here already as an immigrant, he had kids in a house. How did he do it?
Exactly, Doctor.
It just shows you crime pays. What was he, in the mafia?
No, he was actually in the Italian army, and his family had already started migrating over here. When his father had enough money, he sent for him and his mother.
No, come on, but seriously, what did your father do for a living? He worked somewhere. What did he do?
He started selling clothes. It wasn't even really selling clothes. He was working in, a Macy's department store, shoveling boxes. He didn't like it.
How did he own a house after 5 years of doing that? You sure that's all he was doing? I mean, I don't want to cast any aspersions on your father. It sounds odd to me that a newly arrived immigrant in 5 years could have a mortgage and 3 kids shoveling, filling boxes at Macy's.
It was him, my mother, her mother, and her brother.
You mean living in the house?
Yeah, they were all paying this mortgage. But
all right, so now this is very interesting. In the previous generations, people did pool their resources in order to buy property, and that's one of the situations that is not currently going on in this country. Families are all so dispersed and atomized that isn't happening. I mean, that is, like if you moved in with your sister and somebody else, and then you put down a mortgage on a small house somewhere in one of the boroughs, I'm sure you could find one, right?
Not, Dr. Savage, houses right now here in the surrounding area have dropped to $500,000 in some areas, and that's really good in New York. But I
right.
can tell you, I couldn't cut a mortgage unless it was under, let's say, $1,600 a month.
Whoa. But let's say the house is $500,000 for a very small first-time buyer attached house of the kind I lived in Queens when I was a kid. I'm picking an example, right? An attached row house. That's what I lived in my entire childhood, right, in Queens. To me, it was a paradise having come from the Bronx, so everything is relative. So let's say you buy one of those for $500,000. You put down 20%, whatever it may be. That's $100,000 down. You do it through pooling it with 2 relatives. I'm making up a scenario, right? You could afford that mortgage split 3 ways.
Well, to be honest with you, Dr. Savage, right now with my current job, I probably don't pull any more than $45,000 in after taxes. I mean, that's roughly, $30,000?
I understand. I get it. So that's why you're making the call. But you're only working one job, and I don't mean to be a little rude on this phone call, but my suggestion is if you're not happy with how much you're making, you have to find another way to make more money. This is what motivates people to move ahead in a capitalist society. In other words, around you see people riding around in limousines, and you say, how the hell did they get there, right?
Indeed.
All right. Well, you're not going to get there by resenting them the way most Democrats would have you believe they stole it from somebody, because it's not true. In some cases it is, but the majority of people worked for it. So now you're saying, you know what? I'm never going to get anywhere doing what I'm doing. So what am I going to do to become affluent in this society? And that's how it starts. You know, you have to continuously challenge yourself, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, work 2 jobs, come up with a product, become a super salesman, get a product that somebody wants, run around with it at night while other people are partying, you're selling product. You can make more money if you work more.
Savage.
Curtis Dubé is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation and is here today to tell us about how ending oil subsidies for oil companies will not lower gas prices. Curtis, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me.
Well, why are we subsidizing big oil companies?
Well, the truth is we're not subsidizing oil companies. The provisions that Congress wants to strip from the oil companies, the things they're debating today and actually probably voting on, are broadly available tax policies. Things like the foreign tax credit or the what's called the domestic manufacturing production credit. That credit is available to any company that does manufacturing. The New York Times takes it. Electronic Arts, sports, they get it for manufacturing the Madden football games. This is a broadly available tax credit. Same for the foreign tax credit. Any corporation that operates internationally, they can take that credit. Stripping these from the oil and gas companies would be nothing more than punitive and targeted tax hikes. You know, this isn't to say that there aren't provisions that do provide benefits to oil companies. Those certainly do exist. But the ones that they're debating right now and talking about aren't these type of subsidies. They're broadly available tax policies that most businesses can take. This is just an effort for Congress to grandstand and pretend like it's doing something about skyrocketing oil and gas prices, when in fact, stripping these policies away from the oil companies will actually raise gas prices in the long run, especially because it'll make it harder for companies to drill here in the United States, and it's already hard to drill here, so it's only going to make a bad situation worse.
Is this just a shell game used by politicians to curry favor with the American public?
Well, in this instance, we're not talking about subsidies, so this is a complete shell game. It's basically a dog and pony show that they've been conducting here on Capitol Hill, and especially in the Senate. The bill that's currently being debated or being brought up for a vote by Majority Leader Reid isn't about subsidies. It's about going after tax breaks that are available to any company that operates here in the United States. It's a targeted and punitive tax hike that will raise gas prices permanently, not like the marketplace fluctuations we've seen recently, and it will hurt American families.
Well, why aren't we drilling for our own oil here in the States? That's the question.
We put too much restrictions on drilling. The red tape is just too much for oil companies to undertake drilling in our lands and our waters. Until we relax those restrictions, oil companies are going to go other places for oil like they are right now. For instance, the president just a few months ago was in Brazil talking about how he wants them to drill baby drill, but he doesn't want that same drilling being done here.
Well, we consumers are paying for oil once, twice, once in the subsidies and again at the pump. Isn't that true?
The amount of subsidies that are actually subsidies, things that we would classify as subsidies and things that probably should be taken away from the oil companies, they are very, very small. They're a drop in an ever-expanding ocean. And so they really do not add too much to the cost of gas. So really, you know, customers are getting hit hardest at the pump, the best way to alleviate that is by opening up our domestic areas for drilling. How about in the Gulf of Mexico? That was greatly restricted after the Gulf oil spill last year. We could open that back up we're just starting now to allow permits for some oil companies, but it hasn't been brought back up to this previous level. We could be drilling more in Alaska and on our outer continental shelf.
What should the administration actually do to lower oil prices? And do you think they're going to really do it?
Well, again, the best way to bring oil and gas prices down is to increase the supply. Basically, open up the areas where we have lots of oil. Let the oil companies go in there and drill. I've heard it referred to that we are the Saudi Arabia of gas. That we should open up our areas for natural gas exploration, especially on the outer continental shelf off the eastern coast of the United States. As far as the subsidies in the tax code or the direct subsidies, again, these are mostly provisions that are available to all businesses. Taking them away would be nothing but a punitive and targeted tax hike that would only hurt American families by raising the price of oil. What really needs to be done is, again, focus on drilling. And, yes, we do need to get rid of the few small subsidies that are in the tax code or actually their spending programs. But in the grand scheme of things, these are very minor.
Why are we still subsidizing so-called clean energy when there's been no progress?
Yeah, this is vitally important. Congress absolutely has to stop subsidizing what it calls green energy. It's actually making it less likely that we will find the next fuel that will replace oil or dependency on oil because of what Congress is doing. Basically, it's picking winners and losers in the market. Ethanol is a great example of this. Years ago, the ethanol industry convinced Congress that ethanol was the wave of the future, and Congress bestowed on it special preferences, special tax breaks to get the ethanol industry moving. Now, Fast forward a few years, now we're seeing that ethanol was not all it's cracked up to be. It's expensive to make. It doesn't pack the same amount of power as gas does. And it had huge unintended consequences. It's driving up the cost of food around the world because farmers are converting their fields to corn and using the corn for ethanol rather than using it in food production. And a lot of investment money has flown to ethanol because of the tax breaks. That money would have been used to go to other types of energy had Congress not gotten involved. And those other sources might have proven more effective than ethanol. Unfortunately, we'll never know because Congress interfered and directed the money where it saw fit rather than where the market saw fit.
In your opinion, where is our next energy solution going to come from?
That's really up to the market to decide. We don't believe in picking winners and losers. The market will take care of that just fine. Again, that's kind of the thinking that dominates Congress, that it can pick the next fuel source that will revolutionize our economy. It can't. No one person can. No one institution can. Eventually, over time, as prices change and as technology evolves, the market will figure out which fuel is the best going forward.
Well, have subsidies in the past ever been successful?
I can't think of one subsidy that has ever helped any industry, especially the oil industry. It can help a market that was going to succeed anyway, or it can go to a failing market that was never going to make it off the ground. So all that does is a political, they're usually political calculations, you know, to put the taxpayers' money into popular initiatives so that politicians can say they're doing something, when in fact they can do very little to pick winners and losers, and actually they do more harm than good when they do that.
Wouldn't it be easier to get rid of all subsidies?
I'd be all for that, but politics being what it is and our Congress being what it is, there's almost no chance of that. The best thing to do is just basically we need to lower spending so they have less money to move around and continually try to convince them that them picking winners and losers is the worst possible thing for all of us.
Curtis Dubé, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let me take some calls. Las Vegas. Cal, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, I wanted to tell you, number one, Joseph Conrad has always been my favorite author, and that you read, you do affect people, because it's very interesting. I've been trying to write what I would have said had I not died at that moment to my children, and I'm entitling that, what I would have said had I not already died.
Oh, my God, so that's very interesting. Yeah, because in other words, before it's too late to get it out.
Exactly, and there's so many things that you have in your mind that are going to be unsaid. Even though I'm writing this, there'll be even more. And I just, you know, I really love your show, and I love the direction that you take me in, which is very often pearls. And that's the other thing. I collect pearls in my life. And when you said the pearl, I mean, just very, very much thinking. And the other thing I wanted to agree with you, I'm a sex therapist in Vegas, and I'm finding people very uninterested in this free sex. I'm finding young men who are becoming impotent because they just don't want to have sex, but rather than say it, their body says it for them. The boredom is creeping into sexuality. I think we're going to eventually, you know, 20, 30, 50 years really go backwards.
So you agree with me that there will be a movement towards this Victorian so-called prudishness again. I think it'll be much faster than that time frame. My guess is it's going to be within 10 years. 10 to 12 years, there's going to be an entire reversal of this libertine, anything goes, let's do it in the road, you know, and the whole sluttiness is going to come to an end as well.
I absolutely see it. My grandson is 22 years old, and he called me the other night to say he's so happy to be sleeping alone. He said, I just feel so great. I'm alone, and I feel comfortable, and I love it. He says, I'm tired of these women. And it's just not him. I mean, my patients are saying the same kind of things.
But when you're a sex therapist, what is the primary thrust of the complaints people bring to you?
Well, primarily I work with couples who are just bored with each other and trying to keep some kind of flame alive. But I also am seeing young men, and this happened interestingly in the 70s, young men who were thinking they were impotent because their body was not responded to a woman coming on to them. And they really weren't. They just were not interested. And their body was reacting rather than their mind.
Well, I remember being taught by, back in Psych 101 at Queens College, I had a feminist professor, only we didn't know she was a feminist because they were not so designated, self-designated in that time. So she said to us, the human being is the only animal on earth that thinks he is in heat 365 days a year. We didn't even know what she was talking about. And she said most animals go into a sexual heat during certain periods, period. And the other times they're not interested at all. But man is so beaten to death with advertising and popular mythology that he thinks he's supposed to be ready at a moment's notice, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And if he isn't, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, and it weighs very heavily, especially on young men and young women.
Right, and then the guy thinks he's gay. So then he goes down that road and finds out it's another false loop.
Exactly. I mean, the whole sexuality thing is so confusing and so demanding that it's not even fun anymore. And that's the problem. That's what's happening, and people are going away from it. They're really...
Well, but a lot of people then go into internet porn. Let's be clear. It's a booming business. They give up human beings and they become a fantasist completely. I'll bet you see a lot of that too.
We live in a depersonalized, alienated world. This whole, diversity when we came to America, when our parents came to America, we merged and we became Americans. Now we're keeping we're keeping our country fractionalized. You have to keep, you're separate. Your separate entities, your separate diversities, and instead of merging and coming together, we're all separated and alienated, and that's what...
Well, but now that's a little separate, I think, from the concept of sexuality, which is your specialty. Of course, the sexual mores differ by culture as well. Yeah. I would suspect, though, that most of the immigrants coming into America are far more sexually constrained than the population at large. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I really do. I think they're much.
For example, African cultures are extremely restricted sexually. They're shocked by what they see here. People don't even understand that we are at the bottom of the barrel in terms of sexual behavior worldwide. That the very thing we think we are, we're the exact opposite. All of this libertinism is in fact a degeneracy of the human spirit. It's not the elevation of the human spirit. And that's all I'm saying, is that at some point there's going to be a gradual, right now I can feel the gradualness moving in the other way, but there's got to be a limit to this, and I think we bottomed out a while ago.
Yeah, I see it. I see it happening. I really do. And maybe you're right. I think maybe it will be sooner than 30, 40 years.
So why are you writing a note to your children about what I wanted to say? Why do you suspect you should, why do you feel you should do it now?
I was thinking exactly that. There's so much unsaid and undone, and then you're dead and it's too late. So why not put something in writing? I actually have a lot of written things that I've done for them, over the years that I'm going to leave them. But this is the last thing. And
very interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny. One of the characters in my novel says, I forget where, it's about terrorism, by the way, my novel, at the end of the day. It's a major terrorist plot that's interrupted by my hero, strangely enough. I don't want to give any more of it away, but in one of the scenes, I have one of the characters saying, for the things that he said that he wished he had not said, for the things he did that he wished he had not done, that kind of thing. And that's, I think that's human life. In other words, can we ever take back some of the things we said that we wish we hadn't said? Can we ever say the things that we wish we had said that we have not said? No, we can't do that.
That's the, Omar Khayyam, the moving finger writes, and having writ moves on, nor all the piety nor wit can move it back or cancel out a line of it. You can never.
No, I never heard that one. I mean, the closest I got to Omar Khayyam was Khalil Gibran.
Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things that he said. You just cannot cancel anything, but you can give what you haven't given, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, well, you mean because there's still time. You don't have to wait for the big deathbed scene.
No. And besides, I probably won't be able to say that much when I'm on the big deathbed.
I know, the big bed. The big bed. Oh, the big bed. Horrible. Horrible. Well, let's not get too depressed right now, Cal. Thanks for calling the show. Hey, I don't mind. I'm embarrassed to say, you put my whole family in a room together. Within 3 minutes, somebody's mad at somebody. Within 3 minutes, somebody slighted somebody, and they're offended. They're already on the back of the room. They're looking. They're on the cell phone. What happened? We don't know, but she's looking the other way. How come what he did then? And he looked the other. 4 minutes later, there's already a walkout, one walkout. That's if they all show up. There's usually one who doesn't show up because of some reason, some slight from 53 years ago. That's to start the ball rolling. I mean, the difference in fans, it's unbelievable. I don't think we've ever sat through a meal together without some upset, like a flare-up, a flare. Like a flare goes off. No one even knows how it happens. It starts over a simple thing like the bread or the someone says something about the olive oil or the chicken wasn't cooked. I don't know how this happens. It's unbelievable. How do they sit together? 48. How many children? 4 and 12. That's 12 and 4, 16. That's 18 people sit down at a table together and they talk to each other. No arguments, no flare-ups. Nobody runs away angry and no one's... I don't understand how a family... I mean, I admire it. Don't get me wrong. I wish I had it. I love my children. God bless them when I see them every once in a few years. And we get together with 3 different Thanksgiving dinners at 3 different houses because we all can't be in the same room together. But can you imagine having 18 people in the same family? I loved it. Ever since I've been a kid, I dreamed of that. I remember seeing a movie, 7 Brides for 7 Brothers. Show you what a romantic I am at heart. Imagine that. Does anyone remember that movie from the 60s or 50s, probably? It was 7 Brides for 7 Brothers. They lived in like a bunkhouse, and all the brothers grew up together. They loved each other. They all were ruddy. They rode horses. They rode bucking broncos. They had jeeps. They had haystacks. They had pitchforks. They had guns. And then they met 7 brides that were all cute with freckles and dungarees, and each looked like Debbie Reynolds, and everyone was singing Oklahoma together. And they all got married. They had 7 children. Oh, man, 49. Yeah, that was the fantasy. But some people just have that. That's all. I'm not complaining. The NYPD has arrested 2 Muslims in Queens who were trying to blow up a synagogue with hand grenades. Now, what's interesting about this story, the federal government refused to prosecute these men, saying the plan was more aspirational than operational. That's like saying we caught the guy with the sizzling bomb in the synagogue toilet, but because the bomb didn't go off, we're not going to prosecute. You know this is a furtherance of Obama's love for things Muslim. You know this is a furtherance of his not wanting to look like he's too soft on the Jews. You know that these men would have done it had they could have done it. You know so much more than I'm willing to tell you right now. It'll all come out here on the Savage Nation. Ooey, baby. At the risk of alienating the 8-year-olds who scan the radio dial in between Ritalin treatments, I am playing some rock and roll from an era that I like. At the risk of alienating the crack addicts who occasionally listen to radio to tune into the Police band, they skip over the AM band, and occasionally they get entrapped by something on radio, maybe a sports show. At the risk of alienating all of the subgroups in America who have the brains of a, you get the picture. Why finish it? Sketch it in the rest of the way yourself. Okay, take the charcoal and fill it in. Unbelievable. It's upside down. The evil in this land is overwhelming. Whichever way you look, liberalism is a mental disorder and an evil one. So, now that I've said it all, good night and good luck. I'm leaving.